My message today is entitled, What Do You See? 82-year-old Don Carcos lost his sight in his right eye when he was hit by shrapnel in combat during World War II. For 64 years, Carcos said he had tried treatment from various doctors to regain the sight in his right eye, but all in vain until Pedigreed Horse, his name being My Buddy Chimo, hit him in the head. He told the New York Daily News that hours after the racehorse hit him exactly in the same spot the shrapnel gashed his forehead in 1942, he started regaining his sight. Carco said, I was putting a collar around his chest and he whacked me real hard with his head. Being kicked is part of the job, but I've never been hit that hard. I was pretty shaken up, kind of dazed. Then, later that night, I started to get the vision back in my right eye. It was unbelievable. I've been to all these doctors all of my life, and they've always told me there's nothing that could be done. Stories of blind gaining sight seem to have a special place in the hearts of most people. There's something about it that intrigues us, fascinates us, inspires us, and it moves us. There are few things more transformative. Think about it. To go from darkness to light, from seeing nothing to seeing everything. Who wouldn't want to have an experience like that? Well, as we will ultimately see, sometimes seeing what you once couldn't see, while undoubtedly transforming, isn't always as comfortable or as welcome of a change as you might think. As we read Bible stories like the one that Kelly so graciously read for us today, we come face to face with miracle stories. And it's somewhat difficult not to get all caught up in the miraculousness of the whole thing. I'd like to share with you a modern version of gaining vision that's not only miraculous, but also has to be one of the strangest stories I have ever read, with no other story even coming in the close second for me. The story actually sort of sounds like it was torn out of the headlines of the National Enquirer, but it really wasn't. I've checked. Multiple reputable news companies carried this story. I can't tell you the number of times I had to reread this story. Frankly, I couldn't believe my own eyes. The article reads as follows. Dublin. An Irishman, blinded by an explosion 2 years ago, has had his sight restored after doctors. Now, this is the astounding part. After doctors inserted his son's tooth into his eye. Bob McNichol, 57, from County Mayo in the west of the country, lost his sight in a freak accident when red-hot liquid aluminum exploded at a recycling business. I thought that I was going to be blind for the rest of my life, McNichol told RTE State Radio. After doctors in Ireland said there was nothing that they could do, McNichol heard about a miracle operation called, and I will try to get through this, osteoodontokeratoprothesis, being performed by Dr. Christopher Liu at the Sussex Eye Hospital in Brighton in England. Now, the technique was pioneered in Italy in the 1960s originally, and it involves creating a support for an artificial cornea from the patient's own tooth and the surrounding bone. The procedure used on McNichol involved his son Robert, 23, donating a tooth, its root, and part of his jaw. McNichol's right eye socket was rebuilt, part of the tooth inserted, and a lens inserted in a hole drilled in the tooth. The first operation lasted 10 hours, and the second lasted 5. As Ripley might say, believe it or not, the operation was a success. If you don't believe in modern day miracles, well, just go and tell it to the guy who's now seeing out of his son's tooth. As I said, stories about people who go from blindness to seeing seem to capture the attention and our attention and our imagination. That might be why readers tend to get so sidetracked when we read stories like today's reading. We get so caught up in the miracle part of the story that we sometimes miss out on the most important part of the story. The implied miracle, the miracle that has both yet to happen and continues to happen every day. Jesus says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Now, those who have been blinded by the big flashy miracle of restored physical sight might interpret that to say that Jesus will teach those who doubt God's power and Jesus' relationship with God by performing a miracle on this man. But from that perspective, the conclusion is that God made this man blind in order to provide a palette for painting a picture of the extent of God's awesomeness. We don't really have the time to go into the number of ways that I disagree with that conclusion, but we will focus on the one that is most important, I believe, in this story. This is not a story that Kelly read. It is not a story about a blind man. Now, it sort of seems like it is. But to stick with our sight-based metaphors, it seems that way because when we focus on the singular physical miracle in the story, we can't see the forest for the trees. Jesus summarizes his lessons by saying, "I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." This is a first. It would seem that we are in for a day of issues, whether it is that we can't start our bell choir or my iPad just went dead. That's right. I can pull it back up if you will bear with me. I do apologize. It has never happened before, ever. Might be enough to make me go back to paper. Probably not. You want to read the story again? That'd be excellent. You know what? Maybe you can get a head start on reading Revelations. Okay. Let's try this again. This is not a story about a blind man. Now, like I said, I know it seems like it is, but sticking with our sight, our metaphor of sight, it's easy to allow the forest to blind us from the trees. Jesus summarizes his lesson here by saying, "I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see," and understand this lesson to be about, and Jesus understands this lesson to be more about than about one person gaining his sight. You might be able to tell I'm a little discombobulated, so I'm trying to pull this back up. My apologies again. Let's get back to this. I've got a couple more good stories that we've got to get to, so. Jesus clearly understands his lesson here to be about more than just one man gaining a sight. When we look at the details of this story, we see information that reveals what both Jesus and the writer of Gospel John understands to be the real message. Our answers is centered around the Pharisees, who sort of ironically, at least in English, have the word sees in their name, Pharisees. In learning of Jesus' miracle, instead of celebrating it, they attack Jesus. Basically, they say to Jesus that he ought not to be going around healing people all willy-nilly on the Sabbath. In other words, the law says you shouldn't do that on the Sabbath. How dare you go against tradition, the way things have always been done, and help somebody? This is where we begin to see the lesson this story has for us. The Pharisees were more blind than the blind man. They could not see the better way as it stood right there before them. Whether they were blinded by tradition, power, or fear, or just sheer stubbornness, it's hard to say. Personally, I think it's probably a little bit of all of them. What's important is that Jesus is saying the healing of this man is not just about his seeing again. The healing of this man is more about the Pharisees and people like them seeing again, or perhaps seeing for the first time. Like I said, this is not a story about a blind man. This is a story about blind people. It's a story about the Pharisees. It's a story about me. It's a story about you. It's a story about people who will not let go of the past, their needs, and the fear of the future. Fear of the new. Won't let go of it long enough to see what the future might hold if they embrace a new way or some kind of change. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what is it that I'm not seeing? What is it that might be made better, that my personal needs, my longing for the past, my fears prevent me from seeing? What kind of transformation might make my life, make this church, make this world a better place? As I said earlier, stories of blind gaining sight have a special place in the hearts of most people. There is something about it that intrigues and fascinates, inspires, and moves us. There's few things more transformative. To go from darkness to light, from seeing nothing to seeing everything. Who wouldn't want an experience like that? The question becomes a bit more pertinent when we become the ones who are in need of being healed. Sometimes seeing what you couldn't once see, while undoubtedly transforming, is not always as comfortable or welcome of change as we might suspect. Michael May was just 3 years old when he lost his sight to a chemical explosion. It seemed that he would be blind for life, but new stem cell technology allowed surgeons to bring back his sight 43 years after the accident, which is actually part of the problem. He can see things well, but he doesn't understand the language of the visual world. He has trouble recognizing objects and faces and things that take a lot of experience for our brains to make sense of. May says, "First thing I saw was this whoosh of light, of black and white instruments in the exam room and my wife." But even after seeing his wife's face, his son's faces, May still can't readily recognize them. He has the same experience with faces as some of us might have with telling sheep apart. To him, they all just look like human faces. Dr. Lone Fine has been tracking May's vision since the surgery. She says that the visual pathways in the brain withered from lack of use. And 3 years after his surgery, May still walks like a blind man, relying on his cane rather than his eyes. He says, if I was using my eyes for mobility, I'd have to be looking all the time. Is that a shadow or is it a curve? And it'd be way too much hard work. It turns out that while it always is a gift, sometimes gaining sight does not always seem like a gift. It can be difficult. It can be painful. Like with May, the longer we have gone being blind to the potential of change, transformation, new ways of doing things, the harder they will be to recognize even when we do see them. The good news is that once our eyes are open, even if we can't clearly tell the full potential, we will be exposed to a beauty we could have only once imagined in our mind's eyes. According to May, his daily life hasn't changed that much, but he and his wife Jennifer are enjoying the pleasures of vision. He sorts the laundry by color, Jennifer laughs. And in spite of the difficulties of his new vision and what it has presented him with, May does recognize the benefits of seeing the beauty he could only once imagine in his mind's eye. For him, and I quote, the benefits include seeing mountains, sunrises, of course, the kids, watching young ladies walk by. To which Jennifer responds, yeah, that's another issue. There is one more thing I think we need to be honest with each other about when it comes to seeing the world with new eyes. As May's stories hint, it is likely to be tough going at first. We won't always be able to see the things that we had hoped we would be able to see. What is important is to recognize where we came from and how far we've come. McNichol, the man who now sees with the aid of his son's tooth, puts it this way. Now I have enough sight for me to get around, and I can even watch television. I've come out of the complete darkness, able to do simple things. In the end, being willing to gain new sight means being willing to see more than we once saw. But at the same time, painfully aware that there is so much more to see. It means that every day we must be willing to hear God, hear the universe, life asking, what do you see? Do you see the past? Or do you see the potential of the future? Do you see what have always been known? Or do you see the potential of a new way of transformation? It means that in the end, we must be willing to trust not in what we have always known, but also in the full potential of change and transformation. It's your opportunity to share any thoughts you have on how the past, our fears, how things have always been done, other things like that, might blind us from the full potential of change and transformation for the future. Are there those who would like to share any thoughts that came up during our time together? Ralph, do you have something?
Your comments on the fellow who regained vision, but was having trouble seeing. If we ourselves have been blinded to something, and then we gain a vision about it, or if the Pharisees in the story had actually seen what Jesus was, and they might have also had great difficulty, or we might have great difficulty in somehow appropriating all that into our lives.
That's a really great point. It's a really great point.